We continue our study of the Good News in Seven Ones with Lesson 8, the One Faith's teaching about the song service. Does it matter how we worship God in song? During the song service, who are the three entities who are to benefit from this part of worship? What are some examples of worshiping God in song in the New Testament? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, Paul, being inspired of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." What are the three entities? We need to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We make melody in our heart to the Lord. So we benefit from what's in our heart. The Lord benefits from our praise, and others in the audience benefit as we speak to them with the psalms and hymns to edify, exhort, and to teach them. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord," meaning by the authority of the Lord, "giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Three entities. We teach one another. It comes from our heart and it goes to the Lord. And we do it according to the authority of the Lord. In other words, according to the faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again, you can read the whole chapter and you see that the setting is the worship assembly of the saints. And Paul is addressing the issue of the abuse of tongues, and he's trying to make the point that all things in the worship need to be done to edify, encourage, to teach. And so we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, that Paul says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will one who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?" And so our singing, preaching, and praying are to be done in a language that people in the audience can understand, with words that they can learn something from. So if I were to hum, or if I were to play an instrument, or even if I sang in a different language, it would not benefit the hearers. People need to hear God's word and be encouraged in the songs that we sing. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, we read, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper with his apostles, and then they sang an hymn together and went out." In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34, Paul and Silas are in prison, and look what they're doing. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." So they were benefiting in their heart. Those hymns went to God, but others were listening and learning. "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your house.' Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his house were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his house." In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 through 16, we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to be good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so the song service is the fruit of our lips coming from our heart, as the words go up to God to praise and glorify his name, and those that are in the room can hear and understand and believe God and praise God themselves. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms." The song service is worship to God in the form of fruit of our lips. The entities who are to benefit are our own person as we make melody in our hearts, the Lord who is the recipient of the praise, and the others who have assembled who will benefit from the message and encouragement found in the words of the song sung. The words should be sung in a language and method so that those in the room who hear can be edified. Those who do not know God can then begin to worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. The words to the songs we sing must be words that do not add to or take away from the doctrine of Christ or the faith. We must not teach false doctrine through preaching, teaching, prayer, or song. There is no commandment for, nor no need of, instruments of music to fulfill the commandment to worship God in song. And we should not add to or take away from the one faith. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." We are certain that singing is of the one faith. Therefore, let us offer unto God the fruit of our lips.